Get ready. Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is almost here. It's Black Friday in July, and it's coming your way. For 5 days only, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Plus amazing doorbuster deals and free shipping on everything. Yes, everything right to your door. So mark your calendars. Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale starts July 24th. Shop everything home at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Think your neighbors are bad? Think again. This is the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast.
Welcome to another deep dive. Today we're looking into something that I think a lot of people have experienced at some point. It's neighbor trouble.
Oh, yeah.
This particular story is about parking. And wow, did things get out of hand.
Yeah, parking can be a huge trigger for people. It's like this weird combination of territoriality and just basic inconvenience that can really push buttons.
I mean, as I was reading this letter, I kept thinking, what would I do if this was happening to me?
Right. Like, how far would you go to defend your parking space?
Exactly. So let's get into it. The letter starts by setting the scene. It's a quiet suburban street. It'd be the kind where everyone pretty much knows everyone else.
Sounds idyllic. So far, so good.
Until Frank moves in.
Frank.
And that's when the parking saga begins.
Okay, so before we get into the specifics of Frank's parking choices, let's talk about parking rules in general.
Good point.
Because a lot of times these disputes come down to a misunderstanding of, or maybe just vagueness in the actual rules.
Yeah, like is it first come, first served? Are there assigned spots? How strictly are things enforced?
Yep. Exactly. And in those gray areas, that's where the conflicts start brewing.
So maybe Frank's just clueless. Yeah. Right? Maybe he genuinely doesn't realize he's doing anything wrong.
Could be. But then the vehicles come into play.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the cluelessness argument starts to get a little shaky.
Yeah. So first there's this rusty old Honda that just sits in the street for like a year.
Okay. So maybe he's just storing it there temporarily. Yeah.
But then the Honda disappears and in its place comes a blue Toyota van.
A van. All right. That's a little bigger. But still, you know, maybe he's got a big family or needs it for work.
Yeah, but this isn't just any van. It's got a fake taxi decal all over it.
Whoa. Okay, now we're entering a whole different territory.
I mean, come on. How do you not realize that's going to raise some eyebrows in a quiet suburban neighborhood?
Right. So at this point, we got to start thinking about the psychology behind this. What's going on with Frank?
Is he completely oblivious to social norms, or is this deliberate? Like, is he trying to provoke a reaction?
I'm leaning towards provocation, and that brings us to the concept of passive aggression.
Oh, yeah. Passive aggression, classic neighbor conflict fuel.
So instead of Frank, you know, actually talking to someone about whatever's bugging him, he's expressing it through these, let's say, interesting parking choices.
It's like he's saying, I'm here, I'm going to park how I want, deal with it.
Exactly. And it's guaranteed to get under people's skin.
And you mentioned something about hoarding before we started recording. How does that tie into all this?
It's not necessarily about hoarding possessions in the traditional sense, but there can be a link to control issues. You know, people who exhibit hoarding tendencies often use their belongings to create a sense of security and control over their environment.
So you're thinking Frank's vehicles are like his way of staking out his territory.
Exactly. Regardless of their condition or, you know, the giant fake taxi decal, they're his way of asserting dominance over a space he sees as his.
It's like the cars become extensions of Frank himself.
Precisely. And when that perceived territory is challenged, that's when you see the defensive reactions come out.
Which is exactly what happened when the listener tried to talk to Frank about moving the van.
Oh, yeah. What happened?
He refused point blank. Wouldn't even discuss it.
Classic passive aggressive move, blocking you literally and figuratively from getting your needs met.
And that's when things start to escalate. It's no longer just a quirky neighbor with questionable taste in vehicles. Now it's a power struggle.
Right. So how does it escalate from there?
Well, Frank's vehicular collection starts blocking the snowplows from clearing the street.
Oh, no. That's not good. Especially in a suburban neighborhood where people rely on those roads.
Exactly. And it gets so bad that the listener ends up shoveling out a 95-year-old neighbor who's trapped because of Frank's cars.
At this point, it's hard to believe Frank's clueless anymore.
Right. Like, how can you be that oblivious to the impact your actions are having on others?
This is classic tit for tat. You know, you take an action, he responds in kind, and it just keeps escalating.
But here's the thing. Even though Frank's the one causing all the trouble, he probably sees himself as the victim in all this.
Exactly. It's like he's built up this narrative in his head where everyone's against him and he's just defending himself.
Which makes finding a resolution even harder, because you're not even starting from the same reality.
You're speaking different languages at that point.
So we've got passive aggression, a need for control, a complete breakdown in communication. It's a recipe for disaster.
And it's only going to get messier from here.
Oh, yeah. This is just the beginning.
I can't wait to hear what happens next.
Well, you'll have to wait for part two to find out.
All right, I'm on the edge of my seat.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after the break.
So where did we leave off? Oh, yeah, with Frank's ever-growing collection of vehicles and the snowplow incident.
Right, and it sounds like from the letter that things just kept getting worse. From frustrating to truly infuriating.
Frustrating, I bet. It sounds like the listener was trying everything to get Frank to budge.
Oh, yeah. The letter describes sarcastic notes left on Frank's vehicles. Even a sign that said, "Men with small trucks park here," pointing right at his massive Ram pickup.
That's a good one. I can see why you found that funny.
I mean, it's kind of a classic passive-aggressive move.
Right.
You're expressing your annoyance, but not directly confronting the person.
Yeah. Humor can be a way to cope with these kinds of situations, but it's also a form of communication, even if it's indirect.
And sometimes that indirect communication can be just as damaging as, you know, an all-out yelling match.
Exactly. Because it doesn't really address the underlying issue. It just kind of adds fuel to the fire.
So the notes and the signs didn't work. You know, the next.
Well, according to the letter, things escalated to a whole new level. The for sale prank.
Ah, yes, the for sale prank. This is where the listener really upped the ante.
Tell me everything.
So picture this Frank's entire car collection. The rusty Honda, the fake taxi van, the giant Ram pickup, all covered in fake for sale signs.
Wow, I bet that was a sight to behold.
And to add insult to injury, the listener even included made-up phone numbers on the signs and shared pictures in the neighborhood group chat.
Ooh, that's taking it to the community level now.
Right, it's not just a one-on-one battle anymore. It's like the whole neighborhood's in on the joke.
Which can be really fun and cathartic, but it also raises some ethical questions.
Right, like is it okay to publicly shame someone? Even if they're being annoying.
Exactly. And it's a slippery slope because once you start involving other people, it can be hard to control where things go.
In this case, things went from bad to worse. Frank's response to the for sale prank was not exactly mature.
What did he do?
He retaliated by dumping garbage on the listener's lawn.
Oh, wow. Okay, so now we're moving beyond passive aggression into outright aggression.
Right, it's like all pretense of civility has been thrown out the window.
And this is a classic example of the danger of escalating pranks. What might seem funny or harmless to one person can feel like a huge violation to someone else.
Especially when you add in the element of anonymity. Even though everyone in the neighborhood knew who was behind the for sale signs, Frank couldn't be 100% sure.
Right. So that uncertainty can breed paranoia and distrust.
And it definitely fueled the cycle of retaliation.
So at this point, both sides are digging in their heels. They're both convinced they're right, and the other person is the enemy.
And the conflict becomes less about the actual parking and more about this need to win to assert dominance.
It's a power struggle with no clear winner. Because even if you win, you're still living next door to someone who hates your guts.
And that's the part that really stuck with me in the letter. The sense of being trapped in your own home.
Yeah, that feeling of being held hostage by your neighbor's behavior. It's awful.
And the listener even talks about feeling conflicted about becoming the bad neighbor. Like they're starting to lose sight of their own values in this battle with Frank.
That's a really important point because it shows how these conflicts can warp our sense of self. We start doing things we wouldn't normally do just to get back at the other person.
And that's why understanding the psychology behind these situations is so crucial. Because it's not just about the parking. It's about control power dynamics, the breakdown of communication.
It's about all these unmet needs and perceived injustices that are fueling the conflict.
And until we address those underlying issues, we're just going to keep spinning our wheels in this cycle of escalation.
Exactly. So how do we break the cycle? That's the million-dollar question.
Well, that's what we're going to explore in part three. Stay tuned. So we're back, and things are not looking good for our listener and Frank. It's like they're locked in this epic battle of wills over parking.
Yeah, it's a classic escalation scenario. And as we've seen, it's really not about the parking anymore. It's about so much more.
Right. We've talked about Frank's need for control, maybe some passive aggression. But what about the listener? What are their needs in all this?
That's such a good point, because often in these conflicts, we get so focused on the other person's behavior that we forget about our own needs.
So what are some of the common needs that get trampled on in these neighbor disputes?
Well, peace of mind, for one, feeling safe and respected in your own neighborhood. Those are pretty basic human needs, right?
Absolutely.
And when those needs are violated, it's understandable to feel angry and frustrated.
Especially when it feels like there's nothing you can do about it.
Right. And that sense of powerlessness can really make things escalate.
So in the listener's case, they're just trying to enjoy their home park and their driveway without having to deal with Frank's ever-expanding fleet of vehicles.
Exactly. And those are completely valid needs. The problem is those needs are getting lost in all the back and forth, the pranks, the retaliation.
It's like they're both so caught up in the fight that they've forgotten what they were fighting for in the first place.
That's a great way to put it. And that's why finding a resolution often requires taking a step back and looking beyond the immediate triggers.
So instead of focusing on the fake taxi van or the garbage on the lawn, we need to figure out what both sides are really trying to achieve.
Exactly. What are the underlying needs that aren't being met? What are the perceived injustices that are fueling the conflict?
Okay, so let's say we can identify those needs. How do we actually move towards a solution? It's hard to imagine sitting down with Frank at this point and having a calm, rational conversation.
You're right. Direct communication might be really difficult at this point, especially given the level of tension and mistrust that's built up.
So what's the alternative?
Well, one option is mediation.
Mediation.
Yeah. It's basically a process where a neutral third party helps facilitate a conversation between two parties in conflict.
So kind of like a referee for neighbor disputes.
Exactly. And the mediator's role isn't to decide who's right or wrong. It's to help both sides express their needs and explore potential solutions.
So it's more about finding a way to coexist peacefully than about determining a winner and a loser.
Precisely. And a good mediator can help set ground rules for communication, make sure both sides feel heard and respected, and guide the conversation towards compromise.
That sounds promising. But what if Frank just refuses to participate? What if he's convinced he's the victim and everyone's out to get him?
That's definitely a possibility. Not everyone is open to mediation, especially when emotions are running high.
So what happens then?
Well, there are other options, like involving your homeowners association or even seeking legal counsel.
It's sad that it might come to that.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see how in some cases it might be necessary to protect yourself and your property.
Absolutely.
Right.
It's important to remember that you have rights and there are resources available to help you enforce those rights.
Well, this has been a fascinating and at times a little bit scary deep dive into the world of neighbor disputes.
It's amazing how something as seemingly simple as parking can trigger such complex conflicts.
Right. We've seen how those conflicts can escalate out of control, fueled by passive aggression, tit-for-tat retaliation, and a whole lot of unmet needs.
But I think the most important takeaway here is that understanding the psychology behind these disputes can help us find more constructive ways to address them.
Whether it's through mediation communication or even just recognizing our own needs and triggers.
Exactly. Because at the end of the day, we all just want to live in peace and harmony with our neighbors.
Well said. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Yeah.
And to our listener who wrote in with this parking saga, we hope this has given you some food for thought, maybe even a few ideas for how to move forward.
Remember, you're not alone in this, and there are resources available to help you find a peaceful resolution.
Until next time, stay curious, and remember, even the most challenging situations can offer opportunities for growth and understanding.
Want more Nightmare Neighbors stories? Then press subscribe now wherever you're listening to this podcast. We'll give at least one brand new Nightmare Neighbor story every single day. Plus, you can always explore the archive as well. This is the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. Press subscribe now.